Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hopefully very loud when they're on offense and second and third down and making it hard for them. But just the energy, the juice, the vibes. Our goal is to get to the fourth quarter and have Mr. Brightside be playing. And I know the fans love that, but that gives us such a little shot of energy that, you know, we're going to need going into this game.
Buffalo Bills quarterback Josh Allen. Yesterday, media day, we'll talk with Sal. 8 o'clock today on the message the Bills had for everybody. Jeremy and Joe, good morning, everybody. Sabres won last night. We'll talk to Paul at 7:30. So the weather, it's going to be cold. Pat Hammer has claimed it'll be exactly like it was against New England 3 years ago for the perfect game. I'm at NFL.com reading about what the Ravens are doing in preparation, and this is kind of funny, Joe. Like, what other sport gives us this, right? What other sport does this? Where John Harbaugh, so the headline of the story is the Ravens practiced indoors because their practice fields are frozen.
Yeah.
And they just don't want to practice on it. But they're practicing indoors, and Harbaugh said that they're trying to get it to be as cold in their facility as possible. And it'll be cold. It'll be colder in here tomorrow. I've got the water shut off so the pipes don't freeze. So I think the Ravens are, what, like opening the doors and windows and turning off the water in their practice facility to try and make it 28 degrees indoors, which, hey, I respect it. But it is kind of funny. Like, what, if you work at the Ravens office, like, it's freezing here, guys. Come on.
Right. The heat's off. The water's off. And all the windows and doors got to be open, right? Like, because if you're getting it as cold as possible, I mean, what's it outside in Baltimore? Is it 20 degrees? So can you get it to 30 inside? Can you get it? What's the coldest you could get it in that facility, we think?
That's a good question. Are you above getting bags of ice? And putting fans over bags to blow icy air.
Yeah, right now, turn the air conditioning on.
Right now in Baltimore, it's 18 degrees.
Okay. So if you can get the indoors to like 35. See, what's funny about how cold it's going to be on Sunday, though, is, okay, like that will probably, you know, maybe get them used to it a little bit, but it's still going to be like 30 degrees warmer than what the game is going to be on Sunday.
Where are all the ESPN charts, the Ben Baldwin analytics charts about the difference between like 4 degrees and 10 degrees and 10 degrees and 20 degrees? Because it feels like with every degree drop, you know, hearing Lamar talk about gloves and how he's not going to wear gloves, I can't imagine it's very easy throwing a football in those conditions or catching all of it. I am not jealous, envious of the players who have to go out there and perform those conditions. But Harbaugh went on to talk about the field. And this is something that if we go back far enough, the field wasn't an issue against the Patriots in the perfect game. They might have been slipping, but the Bills were fine. But he said, as for the game itself, you know, we'll get as cold as we can. We've got a lot of work in the cold, a lot of work in the wind. The elements are a part of it. The other thing is going to be footing on their field. We're thinking about that, too. Want to make sure we've got good footing on the field. It's a turf field. It'll be hard and frozen, trying to think about all that. But what we're thinking about is executing our plays at the highest level we can. And I'm thinking back to the Bengals game, which was about the wrong cleats.
Yeah.
Now, the field was snowy that day, not necessarily frozen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Could home field be a thing because the Bills players know how to run on this turf a little bit better than Baltimore does?
Maybe.
Their equipment staff knows a little bit better about what to do?
Yeah, we think there's not snow till later in the game, so the San Francisco experience from this year probably wouldn't help them all that much because there was a good amount of snow in that game.
I'm just thinking hard, frozen field.
Yeah.
Like, the new stadium will have Subair is the company where it will be drained and heated and aerated, and they can do a million things to help the field in a situation like this going forward in the future. But right now, I mean, it's just turf, and they're just playing on that hard, hard turf.
Yeah, and it's going to be their coldest game by, like, almost 20 degrees, at least Jackson and Henry, maybe others.
Okay.
Have played in colder. I think Henry's lowest was 22 degrees and Jackson's was 27 degrees.
Man, there is a world of difference between 27 and 8, right?
Yeah.
I know it's 19 degrees, but man, if you tell me it's 27 outside, I can go to the, you know, I can walk to the corner in shorts and a t-shirt because I'm grabbing the garbage tote. And if
well,
it's
it,
8,
is, it is different. I mean, how different does 65 and 84 degrees feel? That's a 19-degree difference. Like, we could all tell how different that feels.
But those are both nice. When it's 27, it's winter. And when it's 8, I start to wonder what it would be like if the sun went away. Like, if the sun vanished.
If the sun vanished from existence.
Yes. When it's 8 degrees, I start thinking about how cold it must be in space.
Right.
That's how,
maybe my brain works. Is that the difference that, like, a certain Ravens player maybe has never had that thought while sitting on the sidelines? Like, I wonder if the sun just never came back up versus a Bills player, like, has probably done that before. I've already thought about this 5 times.
Yeah.
At this point. So this is nothing new to me. Unless you're new, like maybe Amari Cooper.
Yeah. 803-0550 to join us in 1-888-550-2550. Give us a ring if you want on Bills Ravens. We'll chat with Paul about the Sabres win last night at 7:30. And also asking, is there anything about the offense you have any hang-ups or any concerns about? We got a million calls this week about what to do defensively, safety, Dorian Williams. I mean, there's a lot of ideas. I heard an idea on One Bills Live of moving Epinesa to linebacker. Like, people are I know, right? People are working to try and find answers defensively to match up with this team. And it feels like offensively there's a general belief like, you know, this should be fine.
Listen, when I'm almost like any of those ideas, like, I don't think they'll do them, but I'm not even going to snicker at it because I saw there's a number today Pro Football Network had in their preview of this game that the Bills are dead last in the NFL in yards per carry allowed when the other team has a second back on the field, like a fullback. Okay. And the Ravens do that 40% of the time.
All right.
5.8 yards per carry. So, like, you want to tell me Epinesa or, I mean, Williams is really the more realistic option and, like, he's going to play 25-30% of snaps or whatever? Like, all right, fine. I'm open to ideas about anything on this team.
803-0550, our number. We'll get to a call here. Johnny in Buffalo. Johnny, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. You know, speaking of the weather, I was talking to a buddy of mine this weekend, and he was saying he came up skiing, and he's been doing a lot of skiing in Colorado, and he's like, you know, 10 degrees in Colorado on those mountains doesn't feel as cold as even, like, 20 degrees in the Buffalo area because of the humidity too. It's like it's almost like this wet cold that when that breeze blows, you just feel it all the way down to your core. And I think it's something that, you know, Lamar and Henry have never experienced before. I'm hoping that gives us a bit of an advantage. But offensively this week, to add to your point, guys, you know, I'm not too worried. I think Brady will have something dialed up, a good game plan going in. I know you guys talk about a lot of what McDermott can do, and, you know, we want to see, obviously, McDermott masterclass and things that he can do well and, you know, get that win in this playoff game. But, you know, my biggest thing is, look, the Ravens are going to score points, and I want to see us just open it up, you know. Like, I don't think in trying to control the clock and doing what we did against Denver is necessarily going to work. You know, I think we have to go in with the mentality, like, you know, we got to get to that, you know, 30-plus threshold. And if we get to 31 and they get to 30, who cares? You know, just let's win the game. And, like, my McDermott masterclass is him getting it done in a big game, in the playoffs, getting us to the AFC Championship game against, you know, beating this Baltimore Ravens team. So any way possible, you know, doing managing late game situations and saying, hey, let's let Josh be Josh and let this offense just roll. Let's do that. Let's get it done. So that's what I want to see this week.
The thing, would the Denver game plan work? I didn't have any problem with it. I didn't think that they were playing to keep Denver close. I saw a little bit of that because it was close into the third, late third, and their red zone wasn't great, which was part of the problem. But I don't know. I didn't have any problem with what the Bills did offensively, where they were running the ball successfully, whether it's success rate or yards per carry. James Cook was fine. Allen was good. I didn't think they had a lot of success in the passing game early on because guys weren't getting open. So, you know, that's obviously different this week against Baltimore. But I don't know, Joe, were you more on the idea that the Denver game plan wouldn't work this week because it was too limiting or conservative?
I wonder if it would. I don't know, though, that, like, I would have never said that they shouldn't have done it, because I agreed with you, like, that they weren't really passing the ball efficiently. I just think your natural consequence of, okay, the run game is the thing that is working, let's lean into that, which I would have done too, is, okay, well, now we only have three drives in the first half. And when you mess up in the red zone once, that's more important than if you had five drives in the first half and been moving the ball efficiently because the pass game was working better. And you know, for this game, though, I'm not sure it matters because, as you said, if the offenses are pretty even, I don't – like, when you play a Denver, I want more possessions because I feel like my margin for error is greater. The Ravens, your offenses are equally as talented, so I don't really care how many drives both teams have if it's the same.
And if it's, again, if it's the problem, if running like they did last week is a problem because it keeps teams in games, doesn't that mean that if Derrick Henry runs the ball the way the Bills did last week, which was good, then won't they be keeping the Bills in the game?
I understand the point. Henry has broken off big runs against the Bills, which are almost feels like a pass play then at that point, right? Like, he's broken off a 75-yard touchdown against them in Tennessee. He broke off, 82 earlier this year? And, like, that's success on the run game, but that's not nine carries to get there that eats up a ton of clock. That's one play, bam, and it took 20 seconds.
Right, but that's not exactly likely to happen. I mean, that's on what percentage of his twice.
Yeah.
Okay. What percentage of his carries against the Bills have done that? And one of them was like, 2021? I mean, I'm not saying I would not fear it, because I would. The Ravens handing the ball to Henry for a big explosive run, isn't James Cook just as likely to bust one? James Cook has done that a bunch of times this year.
He might have more than – I'll look. I wonder how many Henry has. Against the Bills, I mean, there's only the two, you know, full field outrunning the defense runs that I can think of for Henry, and that's on 107 carries against the Bills in his career.
Okay.
So 2%?
2%. I mean, he can definitely beat them with 20 carries, where the longest one is not that long. But to the larger point about, you know, Henry, stopping Henry, the Bills' offense, can they keep up? You know, Johnny's point about just get it done, 31-30. McDermott's job is just to get it done however you could. I mean, we could play a couple of these games. Like, what would you take? Would you take Baltimore gets 27? Would you take that right now? 27.
Yeah, I think so.
Because part of the math in all this is if it is a game where both teams run the ball, 27 might be a high number on points per drive. Some games have, you know, each team touches the ball 15 times, and some games have it where it's 8. And,
right.
You know, you shouldn't expect to have a high over-under in that kind of game. Like, the Bills scored 31 last week on 7 possessions. That is excellent. That you score 31 points on 15 possessions, you know, you zoom out and you say in both cases the team scored 31. One of those is a lot better performance than the other. They scored points on 6 of 7 drives against Denver, and the only one they didn't score on that wasn't a kneel down was the one that started at their own 1-yard line, and they moved it 40 yards and then kicked. So, like, every single drive on a level was good against Denver. So I have a tough time thinking that kind of game plan wouldn't work again. I mean, those results certainly would.
Yeah, the results would. I think I'm looking right now, 40-plus yard touchdown runs on the season. Derrick Henry had 5 on the year, and Cook had 4.
Okay.
So they were second and third in the league. So, like, almost identical.
And Henry did it on how many more carries? Like 60% more carries?
He touched the ball.
Does James Cook have a higher explosive run rate than Derrick Henry?
I think at least whatever you would want to qualify 40 plus yards as, I think, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dennis in Williamsville is up next. Hey, Dennis.
Hey, guys. So as far as the offense goes, I got to say I'm not, like, overly concerned. I know that Baltimore actually was one of the teams that held us down, but for the most part, we scored 30 on everybody this year. So to think that, you know, the offense is going to be worrisome, I wouldn't put my fear in that. My fear a little bit more is on the defense, I think, like most people. And just to throw my hat in the ring with some of the things that you guys said, like, you know, all these people calling in about different ideas, I think the first thing I would have to say is winning first down is huge because, you know, with their zone read, they're really tough to stop if they can run zone read on first, second, and third on third down. You know, if you can find a way, especially like when they're under center, I think that's a gift because you know that the zone read is kind of off the table. I think that's their most dangerous running play. But when they're in shotgun on first down and Henry's standing next to Jackson, I would love to see, like, some corner blitzes to try to, you know, hem them in a little bit because a lot of times those runs bounce outside. And if we can maybe even get a tackle at the line of scrimmage or a tackle for loss on first down, then I feel like, okay, now we can maybe make them turn into a little bit more of a passing offense, which – I think takes the threat of the zone read off the table, and I think that plays into a little bit more of maybe our strength.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the direction I'd like to see. You know, when you have Lamar and Derrick Henry standing next to each other in the backfield, that's their biggest threat. You know.
Yep.
So
thanks, Dennis. Yeah. You know, to pick up real quickly on a point, Henry has a lot more 20-yard runs than Cook by like 3-1. So Derrick Henry does have more explosive runs than James Cook, and the rate would be higher. On 40-yard runs, like, that's where it's close.
Yeah.
To the point about you know, getting them out of the zone read look, that's about down and distance, and this is one of those spots where on the margins, it's a cool thing about football. The crowd can affect this. I mean, a big, big moment is it's second and two, and they get a false start or delay a game because they can't hear. And now it's second and seven. And that's a different animal. If Baltimore is ripping off good plays on first down, Joe, and getting favorable second and thirds and, you know, compromising the Bills' defense on what are they supposed to cover, how can they, what should they plan for here? I mean, the crowd having that game here, I mean, it might be a 1% swing, but in a game that is expected to be as close of a coin toss as this one, 1% is a big deal.
Yeah. It's big that they got – it's crazy they got the home field, isn't it? That the Ravens had this season they did offensively, like second best in NFL history maybe, and they still managed to lose five games.
I know. It is kind of nuts. They did lose their first two, so
right.
That's a part of that. But it is kind of nuts that the Ravens got to a point where they're talked about like the 2000 Rams and, you know, they lost five.
Yeah, like that. Them losing to the Raiders is one of the most confusing results in like – league history, I want to say. Like, the offense being as historic as it was, and they lost to Gardner Minshew when they were up 10 in the game. That was, though, when, like, I was a doubter of Baltimore coming into the season because I just thought that they were going to have big problems defensively, which they did, but then they corrected. And more than that, I thought their line was going to be terrible. Like, they had invested nothing in it, and it was... Like, the Kansas City game at the beginning, like, even, like, their first drive, remember they took, like, six penalties or something crazy? They had a bad start to the year with their offensive line, but kind of like their defense, that group has been even maybe really good.
Well, if you go back far enough, the Ravens' story this year was how a little bit, not exactly the same as the Bills, but team in transition was kind of an idea for the Ravens, too.
They had lost, I think it was like the Kevin Cole puts out those charts of like what you lost in the offseason and the
for
Bills.
For EPA?
Yeah, for EPA. And the Bills were like third from the bottom. And then like their bar was like medium, and then like way like off the graph was how much Baltimore lost.
They lost a lot.
They lost the most.
And they brought in Derrick Henry, and it's gone pretty well. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Our phone number, chatting up. Bills Ravens. Sean in Long Island. Hey, Sean, good morning.
Hey, gentlemen. Good morning. How are you?
Morning.
So just wanted to see your comparison. You know, we're talking about the game planning before versus Denver as compared to Baltimore. You know, we were going into the Denver game, everybody singing praises about the Denver defense being locked down, being, you know, basically an excellent top three, top five defense. I feel like every team I hear has a top three, top five defense. Like, seriously. But as far as the Broncos versus the Ravens are concerned, are the Ravens, they are more stout against the run because of Pierce, correct? I mean, they're definitely, I don't think the Bills will be able to run as, you know, dominating as they did against the Broncos, as they would against the Ravens. Do you feel like they'll still be able to have some sort of semblance of balance? I don't expect, like I said, the demolition derby that they had against the Broncos, but can they sustain the balance given that defensive front, you know, on the Ravens side of things?
Well, this is one spot where, you know, I brought this number up yesterday about James Cooks. He had three games with single-digit carries. You know, some games he got as many as 19, as 20, as 19. But single-digit carries, the games were Kansas City, the Rams, and Baltimore, and they're down 35-10. So, to me, the point about do they need to be balanced, I don't know. The offense was certainly not balanced against the Rams, and they put up 42. So, that's where they talk balance, they talk everybody eats, and that's fine. Like, over the course of the season, that is always going to be true. But if the Bills think that their best plan against Baltimore is throwing it to a spot or a certain kind of play or play action, then I think we've seen from Joe Brady that there are games where they will wing it around the field. There are games where they will commit to the run. There's lots of different things that Brady will ultimately do. But I don't know that I want to sit here and say they have to be balanced, because I never really think they have to be.
Yeah, Matabuki is the guy that really dominates on that line. And the group as a whole, they've allowed 3.5 yards per carry on the season. That was number one in the NFL by half a yard. Denver was actually second best. Now, that could give you some confidence, though. Like, the Bills' offensive line, like, this will be a real test for them. Opponent rush yards per attempt this year, Denver was number two in the league at 4.0, and Baltimore was number one at 3.5. So if you could bully their line as much as you did, I mean, we'll see. We'll see how good they really are with Dawkins and Brown and McGovern, all of them. Like, if they can do it to the Ravens, if they can do it to the number one and number two rush defenses in the league in back-to-back weeks, like, man, how they should be talked about as one of the best lines in franchise history if they do that.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Should I say, when I go to a call from Long Island, should I say in Long Island or on Long Island? I feel like I should have said on Long Island.
I think I would have said on Long Island.
On. Sean, on Long Island.
Yeah, you're on
an island.
You're on the island. Right? Like, if someone's on Grand Island, you say they're on the island, right?
I can't say they're in Grand Island. I have to say they're on Grand Island.
Yeah, you're on the island.
But if you're calling from Tonawanda, you are not on Tonawanda. You're in Tonawanda.
Correct. Yes. So it's only for, is it only for islands? You're in the city. You're not on the city.
No. If you're calling from a boat, are you in a boat or on a boat? I guess it's both.
That one's fine.
Yeah, only the island is going to be on. All right, I'll make the adjustment. That's on me. I'll review the tape.
Yeah. Is there another circumstance where this would be, where you would use on, though? On, New Yorkers say online, don't they?
They do. Yeah, when you're waiting in line, they say online. Bill,
even still with the internet and everything, they still say online? That does confuse people?
100%, yep.
Okay.
Bill calling in, he is on his roof. No, like there's... You know, in versus on. All right. Paul Hamilton, when we return, we'll hear Paul's take on last night's Sabres game. See if he wants to offer a little take on Bills Ravens as well. We'll certainly be invested. It's Jeremy and Joe. Happy Thursday. It's cold out there. It's going to continue to be cold. And the forecast for the game on Sunday, in the words of Pat Hammer, friend of the station, WGRZ, exactly like the New England game 3 years ago. The perfect game. Fun times. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Burns stepping into the lane. Here's a chance. Scores! McLeod goes to the net and a bouncing puck, and he banks it in. It's 3-0 Buffalo with 3.5 seconds to go in the second period. A two-goal game for 71.
One of the Firth moments of the game brought to you by Firth Jewelers for all the moments in your life. Go forth to Firth. We'll check in on the Sabres with Mr. Paul Hamilton. His appearance brought to you by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Ryan McLeod ends with a hat trick. The Sabres end with a win. And we get a very fun, weird stat. Paul, you've seen a lot of hockey in your life. Had you ever seen a team score a goal without getting a shot in a period?
That I've seen. I've never seen them not have a whole shot, a whole period without a shot. I have seen a goal that's not counted as a shot on goal many times, actually, because it used to be, you don't see this much anymore, but I don't know why. For a while, guys would throw their stick when people would have a breakaway with no goaltender. And as soon as you threw the stick, the goal got awarded. So there would be no shot on goal awarded because the puck never went into the net, type of a thing. Because very often, they're pretty good at it, some of them. They would knock the puck off the guy's stick by throwing their stick at him.
Yeah.
So I have seen that happen where a goal was scored without a shot. I've never seen obviously that doesn't happen that often with the record. No shots for the whole period, but a goal was scored.
And I was wondering, Paul, if McLeod would get credit for that goal and get the hat trick, because I don't know what the ruling would be there. If you, and maybe he did touch the puck, it looked close, but if you are the guy that's getting penalized, but does it go to the guy that was going to score or the guy that touched the puck last, which could have been maybe Thompson here?
That's why they went back and forth as far as I was in the locker room. Brian was pulling his hair out with this. It went back and forth like four times. It was Thompson's goal, then it was McLeod's goal, then it was Thompson's goal, and then, you know, so I asked McLeod, I said, did you touch the puck? And he didn't know. Because it was, if you look at the replay I think pretty much shows he didn't, that Burns blew his stick up, because you could see him going for the puck, and if you stopped it, you stopped the replay right when the stick was shattering, he was going to touch the puck, and he just went right over the top because he didn't have a stick anymore, because the stick just basically blew up with Burns hitting it. So to me, the replay showed that he didn't. That's why I did think that when I saw Thompson had the goal, I thought that was a correct call, because he was the last one to touch the puck when he hit the post. And McLeod, if anybody had any doubt about how fast he is, mm-hmm. I mean, Thompson hits the post. McLeod's nowhere near the defense yet. He takes off, flies by the defense. Burns was just in swinging stick distance. And a lot of people think he's the fastest guy in the league. I still think McDavid might be faster, but I would say they're the top two. Even his goal. He came from the bench like he was shot out of a cannon, the first goal, 43 seconds in. Kozak changed. He came on. He came through the slot like he was shot out of a cannon. I mean, it's like, wow, where did he come from? Two of his three goals were because of absolute speed.
Paul, they hold on to the win. No shots in the third. They get that goal from McLeod and the strange scoring and the, you know, the stat of the day kind of stuff. Was it a controlled third in your eyes, or was it hanging on for dear life?
Both. There were times they there were times they were hanging on. There were times they were keeping them to the outside. I would estimate they might have spent 1 minute in the offensive zone, maybe a minute. Mm-hmm. They were just never in the offensive zone and could rarely get the puck out. It just goes to show you, though, you know, if they would just do what Lindy Ruff tells them to do, the 6-on-5 is a great example. You know, it was exact like Colorado. They pulled the goalie with 3:33 left. They needed two goals. The Sabres sat back. And I'm going, jeez, they're doing it again. Ruff wants them to attack the puck. You know, don't let them just go D to D and throw it around and everybody just be passive. He wants you make them make a play immediately when they touch the puck. If they make a play, they make a play. But go get them. Be aggressive. Go get them. You know, go straight for them. And just keep going straight for them. And they weren't doing it. Next, sure enough, the puck's in the net. And they get the one-timer from the circle because they're being passive again. And I'm thinking, what? So Ruff called the timeout right then and there. Mm-hmm. And just said, what are you guys doing? Because he met about this. They went over it on film. They spent a good amount of practice playing 6-on-5s. Where they were aggressive as the group of five, and they weren't doing it. So he just went after them and told them, sure enough, they did it, and Carolina never got set up again in the zone. They would get the puck in. Buffalo would go right at some guy. Carolina would try, you know, oh, we got to move the puck, bang, bang, and Buffalo would get there. They'd wind up with the puck, cleared it. You know, they wound up with the puck, cleared it. You know, and then they finally got the opportunity where Thompson, you know, cleared it and was able to get it down ice. He hit the post, and that's, you know, when the McLeod goal scored, they got the empty netter. And I thought to myself, see, guys, when you do what the coach asks you to do, you become a pretty good team. But it was just he had to call timeout and remind them of practice and what he wanted them to do. And then they did it perfectly.
Yeah, I'm wondering what Lindy maybe even thought in that moment when he called timeout, because maybe he's thinking the same thing a lot of fans maybe were, where it gets to 3-2, it's like, okay, here we go again. Because he's called timeout, Paul, like I think that Colorado game where they blew the 4-goal lead, he called a timeout, and then they gave up a goal almost immediately after. So I wonder, I know they won the game last night, so he was, I'm sure, happy about the way it resulted yesterday, but... You know, I wonder just in a bigger picture sense, like how frustrated or just out of answers, out of sorts, Lindy might feel like he is with this group, because, like you said, like he's preaching maybe the same thing, and it's just you're getting it 20% of the time.
Well, I think he was laser focused on that timeout. It's like, guys, this is what I want you to do. I've already told you. I've already showed you. Go do it. Just be aggressive. Go for it. Go at them. Just keep going at them. I mean, that was the focus of the timeout. It's just like, would you please just do what I told you to do? And they did. I mean, he woke them up or got them to do it. I don't know if they forgot or if they, in the heat of the moment, got scared and didn't do it, or if they can't. Well, they did. I can't say they can't pick it up, because they did pick it up once he reminded them. But my thought was, you guys practiced it. You spent pretty much a whole day on it. And you know what happened last time when you weren't aggressive with it. So why do you have to be reminded again? That's the thing that I think is mind-boggling, you know, is – why do you have to be reminded again something that you guys went over and over and over? And when you did it right, you showed yourselves that, hey, wait a minute, you know, that's the way to do it. As I said, Carolina never got set up again. Once they called timeout, they got the puck in and got a few passes off, but Buffalo was all over them. And a couple times they couldn't get the puck out. They tried, but they kept being aggressive, and they would get it back again. They would get a stick in the passing lane, or they would, you know, as they were going at a guy, they would try to pass the puck, and it would hit one of the Sabres. The Sabres were blocking some shots then. They did block 25 shots. They did show some desperation in that game, blocking 25 shots in that game. So, good for them at least on that one. But I think that would be the frustrating part, is like, what are you guys doing? We just went over this like 2 weeks ago. And, you know, then they finally did it.
Paul Hamilton joining us, recapping the Sabres. Eye of the Blue and Gold, brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business is protecting your business. Next up, Pittsburgh tomorrow, ball. What do you got your eye on for this matchup with the Penguins?
Well, you always have your eye on Sidney Crosby and Malkin. You talk about saber killers. They kept Aho under. They did a nice job on Aho last night. He had one real good chance in the slot on the power play, and one other good chance 5-on-5. But other than that, I thought they did a nice job on him. He was probably the resident saber killer coming into the game. But Crosby and Malkin, you know, they do a job on the Sabres. So, that's all. I'm always thinking about those two every time the Pittsburgh Penguins arrive. And the Penguins just had a loss. I'm trying to think who – they had a home loss. I can't think of who they just lost to, their last game. It was one of those games where it's like, really? You lost that game? Okay. And I think they had a lead in it, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Seattle, I believe. Yeah,
it was on Seattle. Tuesday. Yep. Seattle came back on them,
too. Is that the game that got their starting goalie waived? I don't know if he was in net that night.
Yeah, well, remember he played against Buffalo in Pittsburgh, and Buffalo got to him, and they pulled the goalie. Then, yep. I don't know if he played again before he got sent down to the minors then.
He was 14 saves, 17 shots on goal. So he allowed 3 on 17 shots against Seattle, and they waived him. Yeah.
Yeah. So Seattle, they did it to Buffalo. They got waxed by the Detroit Red Wings, and then they go and do it to the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Thank you, Paul.
Take care, guys.
Oh, wait, Paul, what do you feel about Ravens-Bills? You know, you got a pick?
Oh, Ravens-Bills. I want to know why he couldn't get Henrik Tillander on the all-Sabre quarter-century team.
I had him on mine.
I saw your tweet, and I was appreciative that you someone was voting for him in there.
I am on the second team. Mm-hmm. I disagreed on two things. They had Pominville, I had Drury, and they had Myers, and I had Talinder on the second team.
Mm-hmm.
But everything else I did agree with. Breer, Vanek, I had Breer, Vanek, Drury, Campbell, Dahlin, and Miller. The reason Miller were Hoshik didn't play all that much in the 2000s before he was traded. And then the second team was Eichel, Roy, Pominville, McKee, Talinder, and Hoshik for me.
Okay.
All right. And a pick for Sunday, what do you got?
I will tell you this. I think it's going to be like 45 to 41.
My goodness,
wow,
I can't take it.
I think
jeez. Jackson and Henry will rip the Bills apart, and I think Allen will rip the Ravens apart. It kind of like that 13-second Chief game where it just every time the ball was in the end zone for each team, every time they had the ball. It just went back and forth and back and forth, and that's kind of what I see for this game.
All right. Thank you, Paul.
Take care.
Paul's appearance brought to you by Relax. Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Pick of the week's on the way. Sal, top of the hour, to give us the rundown from Bills Media Day. Everybody spoke. Bills, Ravens, talking about this matchup, talking about this game. Marlon Humphrey had some great things to say about Allen and what the challenges are when you're a defender playing against Josh Allen. Have that for you throughout the morning as well. Jeremy and Joe, pick of the week coming up. It is time for the pick of the week. Pick of the week brought to you by Riverfront Auto Sales. Powerful V8 engine, premium leather seats, sunroof, perfect combination, luxury and performance. Whether you're driving around the 716 or tailgating at the week's big game, hit the road for adventure. A 2016 Chevy Tahoe LTZ at Riverfront. 1379 Niagara Street. Has it all. Advanced safety features, plenty of space for the entire family. Riverfront Auto Sales pick of the week is the 2016 Chevy Tahoe LTZ, 1379 Niagara Street, Riverfront, where quality meets value. Don't miss out on the Tahoe. It won't last long. 886-1626 or online at riverfrontautosales.com. Pick of the week could easily be the national championship game, of course, Notre Dame and Ohio State playing in the national championship game on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
That's exciting. And the mega cast is back.
Nice. The mega. Are they doing the coaches' room too? They did that a couple of years.
One thing I can't quite. I don't know. I don't know if anyone's ever made a compelling point, or if there's much to investigate here. Why is this the only sporting event that really gets this giant mega cast?
Yeah.
You've got the.
Here it is. You got the main telecast. You got the command.
The McAfee
center.
Field Pass. The command center. The Skycast. Yep. Home and away radio.
There's a marching band stream, apparently.
Yeah, like the national championship game gets more options than anything.
Yeah.
Anyway.
What should we be doing that for? The Super Bowl?
I guess not. I mean, you know, you want everybody in on the Super Bowl. I just wonder why it's this game that it's just been chosen. Yeah, this game's going to get 13 different feeds. Anyway, Sal coming up as we get ready for Bills and Ravens. He'll recap what was said at Media Day, some of the... You know, whether it's conversations about strategy, about opponent, about weather, all going to be a factor. Bills and Ravens Sunday, 6:30. The forecast, according to Pat Hammer, is to be just like the New England game 3 years ago, in which the Bills never punted, so that's good. Sal, coming up next.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of Season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.